بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله وحده والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعده أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والذين إذا فعلوا فاحشة أو ظلموا أنفسهم ذكروا الله فاستغفروا لذنوبهم ومن يغفر الذنوب إلا الله ولم يصروا على ما فعلوا وهم يعلمون أولئك جزاؤهم مغفرة من ربهم وجنات تجري من تحتها الأنهار خالدين فيها ونعم أجر العاملين صدق الله العظيم وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم كل بني آدم خطاء وخير الخطائين التوابون أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والتسليم رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي سبحانك لا علم لنا الا ما علمتنا انك انت العليم الحكيم اللهم انفعنا بما علمتنا وعلمنا ما ينفعنا ان الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا ايها الذين امنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما اللهم صل وسلم وبارك وانعم على سيدنا ونبينا محمد وعلى اله واصحابه واتباعه وازواجه وذرياته. Dear respected friends, elders, my mothers and sisters listening at home, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. My dear respected friends, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has sent us into this world. And we know, my dear friends, that the world we are living in, it's a test. The way we will live in this world, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will deal with us accordingly in the hereafter. And we know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has sent us into this world. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants from us that we follow the guidelines and the commandments sent down by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Okay? Now, imagine this is a test. What happens in a test? You sit the test, you sit the exam. Whilst you are in that exam hall, whilst you are writing that test, whilst you are giving that driving exam, if you do good throughout, then you pass. And if you make a mistake, then you fail. If at the end of that exam paper, majority of your questions are wrong, then that's it, you fail the exam. Now this test that we have in this world, my dear friends, that this world, the whole thing is an exam, is a test. A fair test would have been that Allah Ta'ala, He sent down the guidelines for us. Now it was our responsibility to tread that path. It was our responsibility to tread that path. But if we failed anywhere, if we slipped anywhere, if we erred anywhere and we made a mistake, then this should have been the end. Does everybody understand what I'm trying to say? In another exam, if once you've made a mistake, you've erred, then you failed that exam. Now, unless you go for a whole retake and you resit that exam itself, you failed it now. And you don't get... That same exam, you can't change it anymore. You can't go back to it anymore. But this world, my dear friends, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has sent us into this world. And like I said, a fair test would have been that whenever we erred, that would have been the end of it. That now you've erred, you've come off track, that's the end of it now. But we see, my dear friends, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not do that to us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, even after we slip, even after we fall, even after we break the laws and the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah ta'ala still gives us life. Allah ta'ala still gives us energy. Let's imagine it was written like this, that here are all your body parts and your body organs. And every time you misuse a body part or a body organ, then that's the end of it. You tell me, would we have eyes left today? The amount of sins we have done with our ears, would we have ears left today? The amount of times we have sinned with our hands, should our hands still be remaining and working today? What are we seeing? That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, despite telling us that وَأَنَّ هَذَا صِرَاطِي مُسْتَقِيمًا فَاتَّبِعُوا, that this is the straight path and follow this straight path and don't err from this path, whenever we err, whenever we slip, whenever we make a mistake, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala still gives us chances. He gives us opportunities. My dear friends, as we know, Allah has sent us in this world But at the same time, Allah Ta'ala has kept an open enemy. Allah Ta'ala has informed us that there is another force, there is another enemy. And because this enemy of yours has failed, he's doomed forever. He wants to take as many of my servants, as many as you human beings, he wants to take you with him into the hellfire as well. Just because he's lost the test, he's failed, and there's no chance he can come back again, he wants you to also fail as well. He wants you to also lose and to break and to face eternal doom. Who is this? إِنَّ الشَّيْطَانَ لَكُمْ عَدُوٌ فَاتَّخِذُوهُ عَدُوًّا إِنَّ الشَّيْطَانَ لِلْإِنسَانِ عَدُوٌ مُبِينٌ. Throughout the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminds us that look, shaitan, he's your open enemy. Treat him as an enemy. He's your open enemy. Take him as an enemy. Imagine there's someone, we know he's our enemy. When our institute, for example, will sit down for a meeting to make our institute better, he's our enemy. And we're going to talk about top secret stuff over here. Will we let him come? I'm running a business. And fine, other people are competing with me in business, but there's this certain person, he's not just competing with me. He's got enmity for me now. He hates me. He wants my business to completely break and to finish. Now I'm about to sit down with my partners and my team for a business meeting. Will I let my enemy come? I won't. Because I know he's my open enemy. He wants 100% evil for me. He's got 100% hatred for me. Why would I let him come close to me? Why would I even befriend him a little bit? So this is shaitan. So Allah Ta'ala is saying that إِنَّ الشَّيْطَانَ لَكُمْ عَدُوٌ. He's your enemy. فَاتَّخِذُوهُ عَدُوًا. Treat him as an enemy. إِنَّ الشَّيْطَانَ لِلْإِنسَانِ عَدُوٌ مُبِينٌ. Shaitan is an open, clear enemy for you. Why is he your enemy? Because he does not want a single percent of khair and goodness for you. He's lost, he wants you to also lose as well. He's doomed, he wants you to also be doomed as well. So we must understand, my dear friends, that whenever we are invited towards sin, this is the force of shaitan. Shaitan and his whole army, Iblis and his whole army. Whether they will come sometimes in the form of whispers, and they will whisper to us, waswas. They will put doubts into our minds. They will whisper to us and say, yeah, do this sin, nobody is looking, you'll get away with it. Yeah, do this sin, so many other people from your class, so many other people from your area, so many other people, you know, from college, they do this sin as well. So many other Muslims we know, so many of our relatives, they do this sin as well. So what's the big deal if I do this sin as well? He will whisper. Yeah, you know, they will put all sorts of smart ideas in our minds. Shaitan will come and say, yeah, you know, look, you know, yes, this sort of transaction is haram, but yeah, come on, you're only going to do it once. If you do it once, for 10 years, you've got nothing to worry about. Do it once, you'll make so much money, you'll get away with it. You've got nothing to worry about after that. Sometimes, Shaitan will come in the form of our friends. Our friends will come put peer pressure on us. They'll put pressure on us. Ya chalona, let's just do this. What's the big deal? You know, everyone else is doing it. We won't get caught anyway. Ya chalona, just one cigarette. Ya, you know, just one time we'll take drugs. Nobody will find out. Ya, you know, we'll lie and we'll say we're going over here, but we'll end up in the cinema. What's the big deal? So friends will come sometimes. That's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah An-Nas, when we take refuge from shaitan, قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ النَّاسِ مَلِكِ النَّاسِ إِلَهِ النَّاسِ مِنْ شَلِّ الْوَسْوَاسِ الْخَنَّاسِ. Allah Ta'ala says that we are taking refuge from shaitan. Who is shaitan? الَّذِي يُوَسْوِسُ فِي صُدُورِ النَّاسِ. He is the one who whispers into the hearts of mankind. مِنَ الْجِنَّةِ وَالنَّاسِ. He says, sometimes shaitan will come because he's a jinn. He'll come in his invincible form. We can't see him. And sometimes he will come in the form of human beings. So shaitan will come in the form of human beings, or shaitan will use those people around us who can have some sort of pressure on us, who can have some sort of impact on us. Shaitan will use them to take us off the right path. And where we go wrong, my dear friends, and where shaitan is successful, what happens is shaitan is very, very smart. Okay? Think Whenever you have been pressurized to sin, whenever you have been forced to sin, sometimes you could be alone in your room. You could be alone in your room, your phone is next to you on your pillow, and shaitan puts it in your mind. Mom and dad sleeping, I'm alone in my room, nobody's going to come to my room. And now you start thinking, I can't do this sin. And then shaitan says, okay, yeah, if you do it, you'll only do it once, nobody else will find out anyway. You'll only do it once, you're not going to do it tomorrow anyway. And then again the person says, no, astaghfirullah, I can't do this sin. And then shaitan says, yeah, if you do it, just do it now. Allah will forgive you anyway. It's not like you're going to die tomorrow. But is this what happens or not? Shaitan puts all these ideas into our minds. So I was saying shaitan is very clever. So what does shaitan do to us? He does one thing before we sin and one thing after we sin. One thing before we sin and one thing after we sin. Before we sin, he makes us get brave upon sinning. Before we sin, he makes us feel that sin is only something small. Yeah, do it and ask forgiveness from Allah. Allah will forgive you anyway. Do it, you'll get away with it very easily anyway. So now there's this person who's in his bedroom and he's stuck. He's stuck because on one side, he's trying his hardest not to sin. He knows if he sins, how Allah Ta'ala can get angry at him, how Allah Ta'ala can get upset with him, how Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala will stop sending down his nusra and his help for this person, how Allah Ta'ala will make his parents get upset with him, how Allah Ta'ala will make his wife get upset with him. But shaitan makes the sin look very small. And shaitan makes us get brave by thinking, yeah, if I sin, doesn't matter, Allah will forgive me anyway. So there we go, this person who was in that kashmakash, she was in that world, yeah, shall I not? I don't want to, yeah, I'll just do it. I don't want to, I'll do it. And he ends up sinning. So already shaitan is successful in his trick. That before sinning, he's made us think, yeah, sin, I can get away with it. And he made this person sin. And that's what we do. We fall into sin, my dear friends. We fall into sin. But after that, where do we go wrong? After that, shaitan now makes us think, okay, yeah, you've sinned. Yesterday you did this sin. Today morning you did this sin. Right now you've done this sin. How many times will you keep asking forgiveness from Allah? You're a liar. To the juta admi hai. You're a liar. You say to Allah, oh Allah, forgive me, I won't sin. And then already, the last time you said that to Allah, you sinned last night, you sinned today morning, the same sin. So shaitan makes us think, yeah, I've done this sin now, but I'm too filthy. I've done it so many times now. If I'm a liar. I'm making fake promises with Allah. I'm making false promises to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So now, before sin, he was making us think that if you sin, don't worry, just do tawbah, do istighfar, Allah will forgive you anyway. But now we have sinned, he makes us think, you're too dirty to do istighfar now. You're too dirty to do tawbah now. And what's happened now? He's made us sin, so we've slipped. Now when we slip, what are we supposed to do? My sheikh, he gives an example, my respected sheikh, Hazrat Mawlana Muhammad Salim Dura Sahib Hafizahullah, he gives an example. Right, you Canada people are used to it. In England, we don't get much snow. We don't get much ice. We come here to see the ice. So, imagine it's icy outside. It's snow, then it's rain, and outside the floor, there's lots of ice on it. And you open your door, you come out of your house, and you slip. Does anybody stay down? Or do we get up straight away, quickly clean ourselves? I don't want to let my neighbors know that I slipped. If you slip in school, you'll get up and you say, yeah, before all the friends come out on the playground, let me stand up, otherwise it's embarrassing for me. Yeah, if you slip outside the masjid, you say, before all the people that I know from the masjid, they come out, some will laugh at me, some will say, oh, bichara par gaya. You know, instead of all this embarrassment, let me just quickly get up and clean myself and act like nothing has happened. Even if my bottom will be hurting me, I'll just act like there's nothing wrong. And I'll just continue walking. So Sheikh says that when we slip and we fall down on ice, we get up straight away. But when we were walking our path towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, shaitan made us sin and he made us slip and we've fallen down. Why is it that we stay down afterwards? Why is it that after sinning we just stay down afterwards? He says, the same thing when we fall down and we slip on ice, this is the same thing we should have done in this scenario. That we've sinned, we've done wrong, But doesn't matter. Immediately get back up, turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and make a fresh start again. One thing, my dear friends, I want to explain to you, that look, in the hadith that I read to you in the khutbah, Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam explained something very important to us. Because nowadays what's happening is, shaitan, especially our youngsters, he makes them feel very despondent. Shaitan makes our youngsters and all of us, he makes us give up. So we're trying to be good, we slip. We're trying to be good, we slip. We're trying to be good, we slip. And then we say, yeah, I'm slipping so much, there's no point trying to be good anymore. So there's this person, he was praying Zuhar, Asr, Maghrib, Isha, but he can't wake up for Fajr. He tries, he puts on one alarm, second alarm, third alarm, tells his parents, wake me up as well. But then when he wakes up, it's 9 o'clock in the morning. He says, Abu, Dad, you didn't wake me up? He says, I woke you up so much, we even threw water on you, but you didn't wake up. One day happens like this, second day goes by like this, and now he's thinking, what's wrong with me? I'm praying Zuhar, Asr, Maghrib, Isha, and all I need to do now is wake up for Fajr. Does Allah not like me? Maybe Allah hates me. That's why Allah's not letting me pray Fajr. Maybe I'm not good enough. That's why I'm not allowed to pray Fajr. You know what? If I'm not good enough, what's the point of praying Zuhar, Asr, Maghrib, Isha as well? So what's shaitan done? He's, after his sin, he's made him feel so bad, he's made him slip so badly that he's sunk into his sin now, and shaitan has made him think that I'm no good for anything now. So there's no point in me even trying anymore. How many youngsters do you see? They'll come to the masjid, but on the other side they take drugs as well. Not to say it's a good thing, but I'm giving you a reality. I'm giving you a real-time example. He's coming to the masjid, he's trying to pray his salah, but he ends up taking drugs when he goes out. How many youngsters do you see? They'll come for 1 week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks. After that, they vanish from the masjid, that they don't even come for Jumu'ah anymore. Hota hai ya nahi? Happens. Why? Because the problem is that now we're living in a time, number one, we think too much. We think too much. If this was 20 years ago, somebody would say, ya chalona, what's the big deal? I'm taking drugs, but I still keep coming to the masjid, inshallah. Through the barakah of coming to the masjid, I'll leave this sin one day. Hey? He's coming to the masjid, or he's going to the bayans. You know, once a week he's going to a bayan, trying to improve himself. But at the same time, he's got this really bad habit that when he's alone, when he has access to the internet, he watches, you know, filthy material on the internet. Now, 20 years ago, somebody would say, okay, I'm doing one wrong, but at least I'm still going to the masjid. It's still good. But nowadays, we think so much, and we get so tangled up in our thoughts and our khyalat sometimes, that now today's youngster will say, okay, yeah, look, I'm trying on one side and I'm still sinning on the other side. There's no point me trying anymore. So our youngsters today, they become extremely despondent, my dear friends. And they give up. They lose hope in the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the other side, He's calling us saying, لَا تَقْنَتُوا مِنْ رَوْحِ اللَّهِ إِنَّهُ لَا يَيْأَسُ مِنْ رَوْحِ اللَّهِ إِلَّا الْقَوْمُ الْكَافِرُونَ. Allah Ta'ala says, don't lose hope in the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Don't lose hope. Don't lose hope. For as long as you've still got breath in your body, for as long as you are still living in this world, don't lose hope. Turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because Allah Ta'ala says, only the disbelievers, they lose hope in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So when we lose hope, this is a trick of shaitan. When we lose hope, this is a trait of the disbelievers. Someone like us, who we have firm belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When Allah ta'ala, Allahu Akbar, He introduces Himself in the glorious Quran, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Allah reminds us, all praise is due for that Allah who is the Lord of the universes. Now Allah is about to introduce Himself. His first introduction, Allah is Rabbul Alameen. That's His first. He's introducing Himself. So His first introduction is, Allah Ta'ala is the Lord of the universe. So we understand how powerful Allah Ta'ala is. We understand that if He's the Lord of all the universes, there's no need for another Lord. So our Tawheed gets strong. After that, look how kind Allah Ta'ala is. In a short surah like Suratul Fatiha, only 7 verses, and this surah we were supposed to pray in every single rakat of our salah. Every single rakat, Allah Ta'ala, from these 7 verses, anyone else would say that, let me use it, you know, let me touch a different topic in every single verse. Let me, the words that I'll use, let me use a different description. But look, when Allah Ta'ala describes Himself, Ar-Rahman, Ar-Rahim. Ar-Rahman, Ar-Rahim. Both are very, very similar. The most merciful. The most merciful and the really merciful Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. When we start reciting, we remember that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He is the most merciful. Allah ta'ala is the loving one, Allah is the compassionate, Allah is the merciful one. Then how can we lose hope in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? But this is what shaitan is doing to us today. That before sin, he makes us brave to carry out that sin. He forces us. He makes us feel that sin is very easy. Just go ahead and do it. And then moments ago, he was saying to us, sin, and don't worry, just pray 2 rakat namaz in the morning, Allah will forgive you. But now we've sinned, he makes us think, you're too filthy to pray 2 rakat salah. You know, you've messed up too many times. You've broken your promise so many times with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So I was explaining to you, my dear friends, in the hadith Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam explains, look, kullu bani adama khatta'un. One thing I was going to explain to the youngsters is that, look, if we sin, it's not the end of the world. Yes, sin is a very, very dangerous thing. Sin is extremely harmful for us. It will harm us in the material world as well. It will harm us in our spiritual world as well. It's extremely detrimental for us, my dear friends. But we must understand that Allah Ta'ala, the way Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made us, Allah has made our fitrat, our nature different than angels. We are not angels that we are like robots and we only do good and we can never do bad in our lives. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about the angels, says, لَا يَعْصُونَ اللَّهَ مَا أَمَرَهُمْ وَيَفْعَلُونَ مَا يُؤْمَرُونَ. He says the angels, never ever do they disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The angels, they just do not have the capability to sin. So they are like robots. وَيَفْعَلُونَ مَا يُؤْمَرُونَ. However Allah has programmed them, these angels will keep on doing their whole lives. And then we move on to mankind. So for sure we are not angels. Let's move on to mankind. When we come to mankind, who are the best of mankind? The Anbiya alayhim salatu wasalam. The Rasul and the Prophets, the Messengers. Okay? So the Prophets, they are ma'soom. Anbiya alayhim salatu wasalam, they are ma'soom. That even if they want to sin, Allah Ta'ala will not let them sin. Because of the role, because of the task of nubuwah, messengership. This passing on the deen was such a big task. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knew that someone who has even 1% of evil inside of him, he cannot carry out this task. So Anbiya alayhim salatu wassalam, Allah ta'ala made them ma'soom. That Allah ta'ala, from his own side, Allah ta'ala has protected them. They are not able to sin. Allah will not let them sin. But come a normal human being like you and I, we must understand that Allah Ta'ala has programmed us in such a way that inside of us, we have love to do goodness as well, but inside of us, there is inclination towards evil as well. If there was no inclination, I'm talking to especially that youngster who thinks, yeah, because I'm sinning, I'm such a bad person. Because I'm sinning, there's no one more worse than me. Because I'm sinning, you know what? I should just get into depression now. Because I'm sinning, should I just do suicide or something? That's what people think today. That's what youngsters think. Because I'm sinning, does that mean I'm not good enough to come to the masjid anymore? Because I sin, does that mean I can't come to the bayan anymore? Because I sin, does that mean I can't keep any ta'alluq, any good relationship with any alim? No, it doesn't mean that. Because Allah Ta'ala has made you in such a way. Allah Ta'ala has made you and I in such a way, my dear friends, that we have inclination towards good, we have inclination towards evil. If there was no inclination towards evil, why would Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us Jannah when we strive? If there was no striving, if it was the easy way, then there's no reason to get Jannah. Because Jannah is for those people who suppress their base desires, they strive in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and due to their hard work, Allah ta'ala gives them Jannah in return. But if there was no such thing as striving, then why would Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward us? Everybody was going to go into Jannah anyway. So what's the great thing about Jannah? But no, because Allah has made us in such a way, He's programmed us in such a way that we have inclination towards good, we have inclination towards evil. When we save ourselves from evil, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will grant us, Allah ta'ala will give us that Jannah. So Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam explains, كُلُّ بَنِي آدَمَ قَطَّعُونَ. Look, each and every human being, other than the Anbiya alayhimus salatu wassalam, which I've just explained to you, qatta'un, They are big mistakers. They make big mistakes in life. Qatta'un, not some, the word he uses over here is, they are big sinners, you can say. Or they are big people, they are people who make big mistakes. But it doesn't end over there. Like I was explaining to you, Allah Ta'ala doesn't say that once you sin, that's it, you're doomed forever. Allah Ta'ala doesn't say this to us, my dear friends. So in that same hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam explains, وَخَيْرُ الْخَطَّائِينَ التَّوَّابُونَ. And the best of sinners, not to say that let's compete to be sinners now. He's not encouraging us to sin, but he's explaining to us that look, you will sin. Somewhere down the line, no matter who you are, how pious you are, somewhere down the line you will slip, you will err, you will make a mistake. But don't just stay down now. Once you've slipped, don't stay on the floor now. Get up straight away. Immediately reconnect yourself to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and carry on treading that path again. So he says, وَخَيْرُ الْخَطَّائِينَ. The best of those who sin and make mistakes are التَّوَّابُونَ. Those who do tawbah and turn back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Those who do tawbah and turn back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What does tawbah mean? Tawbah means to make a U-turn. What do you mean by make a U-turn? Meaning here we are, treading our path towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But once we sin, we've come off that path. Once we sin, so here we are going on the highway, but we've run out of fuel. We run out of fuel, we have to go to the service station. We have to go, we're not on that path anymore. Same way when we sin, we've come off the path. So we're off the path, we're on the opposite direction now. But when we do tawbah, we've made a U-turn and we're going back onto that path again towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Beautiful hadith of Muslim Sharif, my dear friends. Beautiful hadith. Allah Ta'ala, He's encouraging us that when you err, don't worry. Just keep trying. As long as you are trying, you are a winner. As long as you are trying, you are a champion. You've got nothing to worry about. So in the Sahih hadith of Muslim Sharif, narrated by Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu, Ajib, such a beautiful hadith. Whenever I read this hadith, my dear friends, it makes the heart feel so happy. It makes the heart fall in love with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And look how much Allah loves us. لَوْ لَمْ تُذْنِبُوا لَذَهَبَ اللَّهُ بِكُمْ وَلَجَاءَ بِقَوْمٍ يُذْنِبُونَ فَيَسْتَغْفِرُونَ اللَّهَ تَعَالَى فَيَغْفِرُ لَهُمْ. He says, O people, if you did not sin, you were all Junaid Baghdadi. You were all like Hazrat Musa and Hazrat Isa alayhi salam. You were all, you know, the buzrugs of the time. Every single one of us were like that. And nobody would sin. If we're all buzrugs, then nobody would sin. He said, لَوْ لَمْ تُذْنِبُوا. If you did not sin, لَذَهَبَ اللَّهُ بِكُمْ. Allah would get rid of you. Allah would say, yeah, I don't like these people. Allah would say, I don't like these people. Why? Because they're so perfect, they're never giving me a chance to show my mercy to them. They're not giving me a chance to shower my maghfirah and my forgiveness on them. And I love forgiving. Allah Ta'ala loves to forgive. So Allah Ta'ala says in a hadith Qudsi, sorry, Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam explains that if you did not sin, and because you don't sin, you're not going to do tawbah. You're not going to ask Allah for forgiveness. So Allah Ta'ala would have got rid of you. Allah Ta'ala would have bought another nation. So Allah Ta'ala would have said, all these Muslims in Thorncliffe that are living here in 2017, you're all too perfect. None of you sin. None of you make mistakes. Allah will make all of us, Allah will make all of us, destroy all of us overnight. And Allah Ta'ala will then bring another nation. Allah will let them live life. Some of them will do good, some of them will do evil. Then these will do good, so them will do evil. So that they can, not that Allah wants us to sin, but Allah is saying, after you sin, I love it so much when I have the opportunity to forgive you. I love it so much when you cry to me. When you cry to me and you ask forgiveness from me, I love it so much that I would get rid of the perfect people and I would bring people who sin just so. فَيَسْتَغْفِرُونَ اللَّهَ تَعَالَى فَيَغْفِرُ لَهُمْ. They would seek forgiveness from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and Allah ta'ala would forgive them. In another hadith we learn that لَأَنِينُ الْمُذْنِبِينَ أَحَبُّ إِلَى اللَّهِ مِنْ سَجْلِ الْمُسَبِّحِينَ. That those, on one side we have those people who are very, very good Muslims, always remembering Allah, doing the zikr of Allah, reading Quran, offering salah, tasbih. So that's one group of people. And another group of people, they sin, and when they sin, they feel really bad about what they've done. So they cry and they say to Allah that, "Oh Allah, forgive us, oh Allah, forgive us." On this side, they are only saying good about Allah. Subhanallah, Alhamdulillah, Allahu Akbar, praying salah, spending in the path of Allah. And these people forget doing good. They don't have the opportunity to do good yet, because they're still seeking forgiveness from their sins. But Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says that the sound of those people who cry whilst doing istighfar and tawbah to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, their sound is more beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala than the sound of those people who are doing tasbih. The cries of the sinners are more beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala than the worship of the pious people. My respected Shaykh, he says, ponder over this verse, my dear friends. If we think that, you know, once I've sinned, I'm so bad now, there's no point me turning to Allah, there's a great point in turning to Allah. There's a great point in turning to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is the basis of my talk today, my dear friends. I have learned, alhamdulillah, a lot from my respected Shaykh, Hazrat Mawlana Muhammad Salim Sahib, with regards to tawbah. He's like, you can say, a mujaddid of this time. That something that you and I would say, that tawbah is something I'll only do when I go for Umrah. Ya tawbah, I need to do tawbah, I need to change my life. Okay, when Ramadan will come, I'll do tawbah. But I may say such, na. This is what we do, isn't it? We think that tawbah and asking Allah for forgiveness, you know, saying to Allah, "Oh Allah, I've done so bad in my life. Oh Allah, forgive me. I want to change my life now." We think this is something that can only be done in Ramadan. We think this is something that can only be done when we go for Umrah or Hajj. We think this is something that can only be done on the 15th night of Sha'ban. But Shaykh, this is why I said he's the reviver of the Ummah. Now, something that became so difficult for the people, something that the people did not understand, that tawbah is such a great gift from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Shaykh, he instilled it in our minds that no, tawbah is something so simple, and tawbah is an unlimited tool. You can use it as many times as you want. It's not once you use it and then you break that tawbah and then you sin again, and I said you can't do that tawbah again. No, tawbah is something, repentance is something that we can do it as many times as we want to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he says that, ponder over this verse. If you think that, you know, oh, Allah Ta'ala hates me because I've sinned, Allah Ta'ala says in the Quran, "Inna Allaha yuhibbu at-tawwabin." Inna Allaha yuhibbu at-tawwabin. Verily, Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala loves those who turn in repentance to Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala. Now you tell me, who's going to do tawbah to Allah? Someone who's praying his 5 times salah and he doesn't sin. Is he going to do tawbah? He doesn't need to do tawbah, he hasn't sinned. That person will do tawbah to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who, na'uzu billah, he's got himself into a haram relationship. Na'uzu billah, he's got himself into taking and dealing drugs. Na'uzu billah, he's got himself into, you know, haram transactions in his work, in his office, in his business. Someone, na'uzu billah, who, he's got himself into a haram relationship. He's going to do tawbah. He's going to realize that I've sinned in my life. Someone who's just sworn, someone who's done ghibah, someone who just spent the last minute, 10 minutes listening to music, they're the ones who are going to do tawbah. So there's one person, na'uzu billah, may Allah forbid, but he's just spent 10 minutes listening to music. There's another person, he's just come out of the gambling place, and he's just gambled for such a long time. But these people, when they finally get remorse in their hearts, and they realize, ya, astaghfirullah, what I've done is so bad. Allah is so kind to me. Allah has given me enough food for the day. Allah has given me enough money for me to look after myself. Whatever I want in life, Allah gives it to me. My eyes are working despite so much sin. My ears are still functioning despite so much sin. I can still talk despite all the sin that I do with my mouth. I can still walk properly. I can still do this. And he gets remorse. How could I do something like this? And then he just says to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that, oh Allah, I've just spent the last 10 minutes listening to music. Oh Allah, I've just spent the whole night watching filthy material on the internet. Oh Allah, I've just got myself into this haram relationship. But oh Allah, I promise you I'm getting out of this now. And oh Allah, I will never sin again. Oh Allah, forgive me. A minute ago, who was he? The gambler. A minute ago, who was he? The one who just done zina and fornication. A minute ago, who was he? Someone who was listening to music and films. A minute ago, who was he? Someone who was watching filthy material on the internet. With regards to these people, Allah Ta'ala is saying in the Quran that He loves these people. He loves these people. Why? Because they have done tawbah to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So, He explains that don't, He explains in another place, he says, we feel that tawbah is something that I can only do at special places or special times. He says, no, tawbah is something you can do at any time. And he says that what is the most special time for this person, this sinner? Is 15th Shaban the most special time for him? Is Haram Sharif the most special place for him? Is the masjid the most special place for him? He says, wherever this servant, wherever and whenever he gets the tawfiq to do tawbah to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then that place and that time is the most blessed time for that person. That time and that place is the most blessed for that person. In another place, the respected Shaykh, he says that the ummah have failed to realize, the ummah have failed to realize that tawbah is such a great gift from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That despite the fact that Allah ta'ala does not need us, but does Allah ta'ala need us? Allah ta'ala does not need any. In Hadith al-Qudsi, he says that if every single one of you, from jinn and ins, from the jinn kind and the human kind, if every single one of you were to become the most sinful of people, it would not have an effect or an impact on my status the slightest of bit. Allah ta'ala says, Allah doesn't need any of us. But Shaykh says, despite the fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not need any of us, still Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us this tool of tawbah that we can use it and we can reconnect to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We can use it and we can reconnect to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And like I said, there's no limit for it, my dear friends. There's no limit. So that's why Shaykh, he goes on to say that I am telling you, it's impossible to sin 1 million times in a day. But can anybody sin 1 million times in a day? We can't even count up to 1 million. So how are we going to sin 1 million times in a day? The Shaykh says, I am telling you that it's impossible to sin 1 million times in a day. But I am telling you also that if you end up sinning 1 million times in a day, then turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with tawbah 1 million times a day. Just the way Allah forgave you the first time, each and every time Allah will continue to forgive you. Each and every time Allah will continue to forgive you. What kind of forgiveness? What kind of forgiveness? Provided that the tawbah is done properly, what kind of forgiveness will Allah ta'ala do to us? What kind of tawbah? What is the power of the tawbah? That Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, At-ta'ibu min al-dhambi kamalla dhambala. Someone who repents from sin. Someone who seeks forgiveness from sin. At-ta'ibu min al-dhambi kamalla dhambala. Becomes like that person who has never sinned in his life. Someone who's sinned. So he's got 100 sins in his book of deeds. 100 sins. But he's done tawbah to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from this sin. And he's made a firm intention that I won't do this sin again. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that he's become like that person who's never sinned. He's become like a newborn baby coming into this world. A newborn baby has no sins. This 40-year-old man, 50-year-old man, 18-year-old youngster, 25-year-old youngster, he's become like a newborn baby. He's got no sins in his book of deeds. So let's just say now, someone sinned, and he's drunk as well. He's sinned, he's drunk. Finally, when he gets to his senses, and who is this sinner? If he's drunk, he's not going to be wearing a jubba. He's not going to have a proper beard. So this person, he's drunk. When he comes to his senses, he does tawbah to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Respected Shaykh, he says that if this drunk person, he dies in this state after doing tawbah, tomorrow on the day of judgment, he will be resurrected with the special friends, with the awliya of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Why? Because he sinned, he started a new life. His sin, he's turned a fresh leaf in his life. In another place, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam explains that how much Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves us. He says that when we intend to do a good deed, okay, when I go out to the masjid today, I'll put this much money in the box today. Or when I leave Maghrib, I'm going to go and do such a good deed. When we just intend to do a good deed, immediately Allah Ta'ala orders the angels that write down a good deed for him. We haven't done it yet. It's possible that after Maghrib, when we leave in the masjid, we'll forget to put that money in the box. But already, because we had the intention, Allah's ordered the angels that write this good deed for him. And then when we do that good deed, Allah, and it's accepted in the court of Allah, Allah multiplies it by 10. And then Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, when someone intends to do evil, what happened in the good? He intended, Allah wrote it down. When someone intends to do evil, someone intends to sin, okay, yeah, chalo, yeah, when I go home, you know, I'll just go and do this today. Or on the way home, I'll just go and meet someone, so I'll just go and do this sin. So when he intends to sin, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells the angels, wait, wait, wait. He's only intended, he hasn't done it yet. Until he doesn't do it, you don't write it down. And when he does that sin, when he did the good deed, Allah multiplied it by 10. When he does the sin, Allah ta'ala tells the angels, look, he's done a sin, only write down one sin. But fair would have been, if you got 10 deeds over here, you should have got 10 sins over here. But Allah ta'ala says, only write down one sin. And then, in another hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam explains that when this person does tawbah to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he turns in repentance to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, not just does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wipe it from his good deeds, from his book of deeds. So we have our Naam al-A'mal, our book of deeds. Not just does Allah ta'ala wipe it from there. Because if he wipes it from there, the angels sitting on the left and the right, they still know that we've sinned. So Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, not just does Allah ta'ala wipe it from your book of deeds, Allah ta'ala wipes it out from the memories of the angels as well. So they don't even have bad thoughts about us. They don't even have bad thoughts about us. So tawbah, my dear friends, is something we need to understand that, look, whenever we sin, whenever we get ourselves into a mess, whenever we slip, we were trying, we tried our hardest, we promised Allah, we'll never do that sin again. We promised Allah, we'll never go close to that sin again. And we tried, but we slipped and we committed that sin, then immediately we turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in repentance. Immediately we turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in repentance. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu, O believers, tubu ila Allahi tawbatan nasuha. Turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with sincere tawbah. Do a sincere tawbah. What is a sincere tawbah? Ibn Kathir rahmatullahi alayhi says, the ulama have written that what is a sincere tawbah? What is a sincere tawbah? One is you just say, you know, like, oh, tawbah, tawbah, astaghfirullah. That doesn't mean Allah has forgiven your sins. If you're just saying it and you're still watching the television at the same time, you're still listening to music and you're saying, tawbah, tawbah, astaghfirullah. You're gambling and you're saying, tawbah, tawbah, astaghfirullah. That's not istighfar. That's not tawbah. What is tawbah? He says, the ulama say, tawbah consists of something which you have to do for the past, something what you do for now, present, and something what you do for the future. Tawbah is that you have remorse over what you have done in the past. So whatever sins you have done in the past, you have remorse. You regret what you have done. And you say to Allah that, oh Allah, I'm so bad. How could I do something like this? Allah, so that's number one. You've got remorse. Number two, what do you have to do present? In present, you have to cut yourself off from all those means that will take you towards that sin. So if you being alone with your mobile phone, whilst you are in your bedroom, this is making you sin, then true tawbah would be that you say to yourself, okay, when I go to sleep, I leave my phone outside of my bedroom. When I go to sleep, I leave my phone downstairs. I won't take it to the bedroom with me, because whenever I do, I end up sinning. Tawbah would mean that whenever I hang around with so-and-so friends, they're the ones who take me towards drugs. So now I'm going to cut relations with them. I can't hang around with them. I'm going to explain to them, okay, yeah, look, I end up sinning when I come with you. I feel really bad about it. I get really depressed about it. So I won't do it anymore. That's what tawbah means. That in present, you cut yourself off from those means that are making you sin. And what about the future? Tawbah means that you make a firm resolution, firm intention that come what may, I will not do that sin again in the future. Come what may, I will not do that sin again in the future. And there's two more things related to haqq. If your sin includes your violating the rights of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. For example, someone, he doesn't pray salah. So now from today he's doing firm intention, okay, from now on I'll pray my salah. Oh Allah, I'm regretful that I've missed my salah in the past. From now I will make sure I pray my salah. In the future I will make sure I never miss my salah. But because he has violated the right of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we owe him that salah, we have to do qaza of that salah. We haven't been fasting, but from now we say, from now I will fast every single month properly. The fast that we have missed out, we have to make up for it. Allah has forgiven us for missing that fast, but we still owe that fast to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So, if it's related to haqq, we have to fulfill that haqq. And another thing related to haqq, if it's a haqq related to the rights of the fellow human beings. Okay? So I have sworn at someone, the sin of swearing, or I've disgraced someone. The sin of disgracing someone, Allah has forgiven me. I have done tawbah about that. But because it was related to so-and-so's haqq, I have to go and ask forgiveness from him. I have to go and ask forgiveness from him. Ya, look, I've made this mistake. I've done this about you. Please forgive me. Or you've stolen from someone. Now you have to go and return that. Or you've taken money of someone. You're not paying him back. Yes, you've done your tawbah. Allah has forgiven you for doing the wrong that you have done. But you still owe that person money. You have to go and pay that person. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that, O believers, turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in sincere repentance. Turn to Allah Ta'ala in sincere repentance. So this sincere repentance, Shaykh is saying, that if in a day, so imagine someone's just repented, oh Allah, I'm so bad, I shouldn't have done this sin, and he's done that sin. And then he's done tawbah. And then 10 minutes later, he does that sin again. Don't give up, my dear friends. Don't give up. Continue striving. Just like you were trying, and then you slipped, and you made a mistake, and you did tawbah, and then you slipped again. Again, get up on your feet again. Turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and do tawbah. But every time you do tawbah, the condition is that all three of these conditions are met. That for the, you have regret about the past, you're trying for the present time, and you make a firm intention not to do that in the future. Shaykh gives a very wonderful example. He says, imagine we have two boxers in the ring. Again, this is about tawbah. He says, imagine you have two boxers in the ring. One is a really weak guy, and the other one is really strong. Really built. So what's happening now, you know, when you have the boxing match, you have 10 rounds, 12 rounds, 15 rounds, 20 rounds in the boxing match. Okay? So Sheikh is saying that there's these two boxers in the ring. Now, the stronger guy, the built guy, he knocks the other one down. He knocks the other one down, he's down. And now the referee starts counting. 10, 9, 8. But he gets up. Has the weak one lost the fight yet? He's got up before the count of 10. Now he goes into the next round, again he falls down again, the referee comes, 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, and then he gets up again. The Shaykh says, this is the example of our life. We have 10 rounds, 15 rounds in our life. And that strong man on the other side, that's Shaytan. He's knocking us down. But Shaykh says, when he knocks us down, as long as we get up before the count of 10. And what is the count of 10? Our death. As long as we get up before death, we turn back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We seek forgiveness from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As long as we remain in that ring and we do not let the countdown of 10 happen. Whilst we are down, then we are champions. We've got nothing to worry about. Now you tell me, that boxer, no matter how many times he falls down in that whole boxing match, if every time he gets up before the count of 10, then he's still a winner. He hasn't lost the fight yet. So similarly, my dear friends, don't lose hope. Okay? Times are difficult out there. It's times of fitna right now. Everywhere we go, sometimes in pious environments, because we have the fitna of the mobile phone with us, because we have the fitna of our khiyalat, whatever we are thinking about during the day, we bring that mess into the masjid. Even in salah, we end up thinking about it afterwards. And then we end up entertaining those thoughts as well. There's so much fitna out there, my dear friends. But it's not impossible to still win. It's not impossible to still stay in the match, stay in the fight, and become champions with regards to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Shaitan will come. He'll come from all directions. He'll come, he'll try to knock us down, my dear friends. But as long as before the count of 10 we get back up again and we turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgives. Allah ta'ala forgives. Allah ta'ala loves to forgive. How much does Allah ta'ala love to forgive? Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَبْسُتُ يَدَهُ بِاللَّيْلِ لِيَتُوبَ مُسِيءُ النَّهَارِ وَيَبْسُتُ يَدَهُ بِالنَّهَارِ لِيَتُوبَ مُسِيءُ اللَّيْلِ. Who would do this for us? Who would do this for us? Even our own parents would not do this for us. That when we do wrong, they forgive us. Again we do wrong, they forgive us. Again we do wrong, they forgive us. Even with our parents, the time will come and they'll say, yeah, you know what, I can't handle you anymore. You leave my house, you go live your own life. But Allah Ta'ala doesn't do this. Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, verily, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala spreads out his hand during the day. He spreads out his hand during the day so that those who have erred during the night can turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So what about those who have erred during the day? So Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says that then Allah ta'ala spreads out his hand during the night so that those people who have erred during the day, they can turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Meaning, the doors of Allah are open 24 hours for the sinners. They have open access to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whenever they want, wherever they want, they can turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and patch their connection up with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Again, Shaykh says, another example. Here's my garment, here's my jubba. And it's stitched up with this stitch over here. Okay? But I ripped my jubba. I ripped my jubba, these two cloths are not connected anymore. So Shaykh says, this was us and this was our connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When we sin, we've ripped that thread in the middle. So he says, Tawbah is that stitch that connects us to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allahu Akbar. Tawbah is that stitch. We use that thread, we use that stitch, and these two cloths come together and we are reconnected to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So my message is, my dear friends, that yes, times are hard out there. There's all sorts of challenges out there, especially for our dear youngsters. But don't give up, my dear friends. As long as you keep trying, as long as you keep turning to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then you're still a winner. Again, Shaykh says, gives another example. Imagine now someone like me, okay? Someone really unhealthy like me. And you tell me that, you know, Maulana, you have to run in the park 10 times round and round the park. I'm looking at you thinking, I can't even walk 10 times round the park. How am I going to run? I can't even run once round the park. How am I going to run 10 times round the park? So imagine you tell me, okay, 10 times you have to run round the park. I can't do it. I can't do it. But what I'll do is I'll try. So I start. Today I'll run once round the whole park. And when I get to the end again, when I get to my start point, I'll be huffing and puffing away. And I'll be like, this is impossible. But then 2 days later, I will try again. Will I only do one lap? Or will I do a bit more? I'll do a bit more. Because I'm building my stamina now. So I'll do one lap and a half, and I'll be like, I can't do it anymore. 2 days later, I come back. Or let's say somebody goes to the gym. He goes to the gym, and his coach says, you have to lift this many weights. And he's looking at the coach saying, you know, are you for real? Can I really do this? Well, what will he do? If he can't lift up those 20 kilograms on each side, he say, okay, I'll put 5 on each side. And I'll start. And I'll pump my arms for one, you know, for 10 minutes, I'll continue to do it. And I can't do it anymore. Now my arms are hurting too much. But 2 days later, he'll come back. And he'll say, you know what? Put 6 kilos on each side now. I'll try. Like this, he'll go from 5 kilos to 10 kilos to 15 kilos. Why? Because each time he's doing so, he's building his stamina. I'm running in the park. One lap I can do today. Next day, I'll do 1.5 laps. Next day, I'll do 3 laps. The next day, I'll do 5 laps. Why? Because each time now, I'm building my stamina. So Ajib Sheikh gives an example. He goes, imagine there's a youngster. And he says, well, imagine there's anyone. And they say, you know what? I misuse my eyes in the wrong way. On my phone, on my social media, on WhatsApp, on the internet, I'm looking at the wrong things. When I'm going to work, whilst I'm driving, I'm looking towards the non-mahram. It's not permissible for me. But now I'm going to try hard. So Sheikh says, this person in one day, 100 times he uses his eyes in the wrong way. But when he gets home, and you know, he looks at his wife, he looks at his children, and tells him, what have I just done today? Allah Ta'ala has given me something so great. I'm using my eyes in the wrong way. Astaghfirullah. He takes out the musalla, prays 2 rakat salah, does tawbah to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Shaykh says, today he sinned 100 times. Shaykh says, it's not that the next day he's not going to do it at all. He said, today he done it 100 times, but he done tawbah. Tomorrow he will only do it 99 times. But after doing it 99 times, he tried. Each time he tried not to. But after doing it 99 times, again he'll do tawbah to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Next day he'll only do it 95 times. Next day he'll only do it 90 times. Next day he's controlling more now. So Shaykh says that through excessive tawbah, when you keep on doing tawbah, me and you are thinking, okay, it's not getting me anywhere. Shaitan is making us think, okay, every day you do tawbah, what's the point? You're doing the same sin again. Shaykh says, no, don't give up. Because through excessive tawbah, the stamina to resist from sin is increasing. The stamina and the strength to resist from that sin, it is increasing all time. So much so that today you started with 100, tomorrow was 99, then it was 95. He said the time will come when the whole day you will be out of the house, but you won't misuse your eyes a single time. And why was this? Through the barakah and the stamina, through tawbah, the stamina to resist from that sin was increasing. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us all the tawfiq. If I have a couple of minutes, I'll just share with you the story of Malik ibn Dinar. And when I talk about him, I ask yourself that, are any of us as bad as Malik ibn Dinar? And he later became rahmatullahi alayh. So he became such a big saint that today we are talking about him from the minbar of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So who was Malik ibn Dinar? Malik ibn Dinar says, I was a proper drunkard. You know, this was my everyday. Buy some alcohol, go out with my friends, get drunk, and this was it. get drunk, enjoy ourselves, fulfill our desires with women. And this was our life. So he says that I would drink every day. He said, I fell in love with one slave girl. I bought her. I fulfilled my desire with her. And it so happened that she became pregnant. She became pregnant and she gave birth to a very beautiful baby girl. And she goes, this baby girl, you know, she won my heart. This baby girl, she won my heart. And he said, there was something really, you know, strange or wonderful about this young girl. Small baby, 1 year old, growing up, 1.5, 2 years old. But whenever in front of her, I would take the glass of wine into my hands, then this baby would come and whack that wine out of my hands. He said, it so happened, 2 years passed by and my baby passed away. This girl that she won my heart, she passed away. When she passed away, he said that one night, as I was drunk, I missed my Isha Salah, I fell asleep. When I went to sleep, I saw a dream. And in that dream, I realized that today is the day of resurrection. And I am being resurrected with the sinners today. So he says that all sorts of creatures, you know, scorpions, all these Jahannami creatures are around me. And I'm being chased everywhere. I'm being chased everywhere by these scorpions, by these snakes. And he says, so until I'm running away from them, until I come by a man in a really nice white dress. An old man in white dress. And he says, oh, old man, save me from this. The old man says, I can't save you from this. I'm too weak. Look at me. I'm so old now. But he says, continue running in that direction. Maybe you'll be safe. So he said, I continue to run until I get to a cliff. I climb the cliff. And I realize this cliff is taking me straight to the fire of Jahannam. So he said, I make a U-turn and I run in the opposite direction. When I ran again, I met that old man. I said, oh, old man, save me. Look, I'm being destroyed like this. The old man says, no, I'm too weak. I'm too frail. I can't help you. But maybe run in this direction. Maybe somebody will save you. As he was running in that direction, he heard a voice saying that, no, come over here. He said, I went into one room. I'll cut the story very short. He said, I went into one room and there were containers everywhere. Containers, and they had pearls all around these boxes, and these containers had shutters to them as well. He said, until I heard a voice saying that, oh, you babies, come out. Oh, you babies, come out. So he says that babies started coming out and I didn't understand what was going on until all of a sudden I met my baby girl. So he's seeing all of this in a dream. He said, when I went close to my daughter said, oh, father, it's you. You are in so much trouble today. And then the baby says to the father, أَلَمْ يَأْنِنِ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أَن تَخْشَعَ قُلُوبُهُمْ لِذِكْرِ اللَّهِ. Has the time not come for the believers that their hearts humble themselves, their hearts submit themselves to the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Has the time not come for the believers to change their lives? So he said, he was shocked. He said, I said to my baby that you are so young, you understand the Quran. The baby said, yes, we understand the Quran more than you as well. And then the father said that, explain to me what has just happened right now. He said, oh my dear father, all these scorpions and snakes you could see, these were all your bad deeds. This was your drinking, this was your going out in the clubs, this was your spending time with women. These were all your bad deeds, they were chasing you into the fire of Jahannam. So then the dad said, who was that person in the white garment? He said, oh my dear father, that was your good deeds. But because you were so weak in your a'mal, you never used to do your a'mal properly. Look, your a'mal weren't strong enough to help you in the hereafter. So Malik ibn Dinar said that dream was a turning point for me in my life. From that day, I said to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that, oh Allah, I have repented. I'm not going to go towards those women anymore. I'm not going to go towards that intoxicant anymore. I'm not going to go towards that drinking anymore. And he goes, that became a turning point in my life. So I ask you, my dear friends, if Allah Ta'ala can change the likes of Malik ibn Dinar, we are just doing 1-2 sins in our lives. But they are really detrimental for us. Then are we not in such a position that if we don't sincere tawbah to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah Ta'ala will forgive us and Allah will change our lives for us? Of course He will. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us all the tawfiq. May Allah Ta'ala make us from those who sincerely turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in repentance, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgives our sins and give us the tawfiq to come onto the right path and to stay on that path until we breathe our last. Ameen. Ya Rabbil Alameen wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen wa sallallahu ta'ala ala khayri khalqihi Muhammadu wa alihi wa sallam.